While our praise team is finding their seat, let me just say a couple of things. You know, a while back, ladies group headed up a little initiative to send some of the troops in Afghanistan some basic necessities. Some of you remember that? And I got a letter back from Sergeant Eric Palomar just the other day, and I just want to read just a couple of inserts from this, not the whole letter. On behalf of my company commander and the soldiers of Alpha Company, as well as members of 1st Battalion, 2nd Infantry Regiment of Task Force 4-4, we deeply thank you for the support you've given us with the care packages sent. They could not have arrived at a more appropriate time. Please allow me to give some background. And then there are some paragraphs about all the details of what's going on there, of where they are in the mountains of Afghanistan in Kunar province. But I want to read this part. When care packages such as yours started arriving, the soldiers were quite surprised. Other words that are appropriate for this letter are relieved, excited, curious, triumphant, re-energized. He says, I trust you get the idea. The famous words, mail call, always initiated a gathering of hopes. At an event, the men anticipate as if they were about to watch a long-awaited concert or game or child about to open a Christmas present. Your care packages gave them strength and kept up their morale. And so there's more to the letter, but in essence, thank you for the care packages sent to the troops of Afghanistan. And I also wanted to mention to you, you know that we support some missionaries around the world. You know that we support some individual children through Free Methodist World Missions. Their pictures are on the back. You know also that, some of you know at least, that we also support children in Nepal that are in homes. They have no parents. They've been taken in by Christians, and we Americans support them, and they feed them, give them housing, they give them love, and they tell them about Jesus in these safe homes. And so we had the director who had to flee Nepal for his own safety. He now lives in America. He was here last year. We heard from him, and I just want to tell you that good things continue to happen there. Let me read just a paragraph from Silas's letter. Here's what he says. I must share a story of one of our homes of five boys. Three of them are all brothers from a very remote village of Nepal. Through excellent parenting and their own commitment of hard work, they each secured first place in their class by scoring a greater than 90% average on their annual comprehensive grade level exam. They each want to be doctors and serve people in the remote places of Nepal. These are three little brothers in one little home of five boys that they've taken in literally off the streets. Here's what he says about them. Their mother died without receiving medical help when she got sick with dysentery. Their father carried her on his back for 4 hours down a steep mountain to a government health clinic. When he got there, there was no medical personnel there, and no one was able to help her. She died of dehydration. Despite the tragedy of losing their mother, these young boys, now in a Child Hope International home, are growing in their faith and character thanks to the Child Hope International parents for their sincere love and care for these precious children. There are, of course, many more children at risk, and with help we can bring more of them from hopelessness to hope in Jesus Christ. And so I just wanted to share some of the good things that you're helping with around the world. I so appreciate your willingness to give. You've been so generous this year, and I'm just so appreciative of how you are so giving. You know, when we began this Advent season, we talked about giving. We talked about the verse that Jesus said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. And I had the privilege just the other day, and I know a lot of you do a lot of your own things that I don't know about, but some of them I get to know about, and I'm just blessed by the things that I learned. I got the privilege just the other day because a couple from our congregation here who will remain anonymous said, Jim, I want you to tell me of a family that you know of, maybe have some kids and stuff, maybe really down on their luck, and we want to buy them some presents, and we want to give them a little Christmas. And so I contacted a family just as God would have it. I knew of a situation here in town, and God put that family in my mind. So I turned that over to this couple, and yesterday met me here with a whole bunch of goodies, a whole bunch of things for these children. As a matter of fact, there's a number of single moms all in one home, and this lady wanted to buy presents for all of them. And so I call them up, see if I could go over there and bring some things. And I went over there and brought in bag after bag after bag for these children who would have had no Christmas. Who had? I got into the house. There was no presents. There was no tree. There was no decorations. There was nothing about Christmas. Matter of fact, what surprised me most, and I told Sherry about this when I got home, it kind of broke my heart. When I walked in the house, there was not even a doorknob. They couldn't afford a doorknob. There was a wooden peg for a knob. When I got inside the house, there was no linoleum left on the kitchen floor. There was just bare, worn-out plywood. In the living room, the carpet was worn through, and so there was plywood thrown over the top of that. And when I got done delivering those goodies, a meal and presents to those children, I just said, thank you, Lord. Thank you for putting upon this couple's heart to minister to the least of these. And so I sometimes get the privilege of seeing those wonderful opportunities of your giftedness, your grace, and giving to others. And I just want to say thank you for your giving attitudes and your giving hearts this Christmas. Because when Jesus said it is more blessed to give than to receive, it really is. And when you can see what I've seen, and some of you have seen it in situations that are very, very tough. I used to see lots of them when I was delivering food baskets from Trident Seafoods when I was still there at Christmas time. I used to see the worst of the worst. And yet when God's people stand up and say, let me help, Jim, let me help, neighbor, let me help somebody, what a blessing. What a tremendous blessing that is. And so I just want to say thank you again for your giving at this season, because I know a lot of you have given of your time, talents, and resources to help the least of these in our communities. And so that brings us today's thought, today's discussion. What is Christmas anyway? What has Christmas become? When we think of what is Christmas, I like to ask children. And matter of fact, Angie did ask children here. We had a Christmas party of sorts for Awana on Wednesday, and we talked about what is Christmas and how did Christmas start. And of course, there's lots of questions from lots of little kids. But I just want you to think for a moment what you know to be the true meaning of Christmas. Because you're Christians, because you know the Christ, you know what Christmas is all about. But then I want you to also think for just a moment, what has Christmas become? Okay, maybe not in your home, but in America, in society, around the world. And maybe to a point, if we ask ourselves and are completely honest with ourselves, what has Christmas become even in my own home? Is it really the celebration of Jesus Christ only, or is it more? What has it become? That's what I've been thinking about these last few days. What has Christmas become? Sherry and I don't get all carried away with buying presents. We like to help other kids that are less fortunate, and we do help. We do buy some presents for our own, but we didn't have a lot of occasion to go out and do a lot of Christmas shopping. We took one morning and kind of got her done, so to speak, just like that, and came back home and got away from the hustle and the bustle. But what has Christmas become? I was looking up some statistics just the other day, and I saw that in the day after Thanksgiving in 2010 in America, we spent $45 billion on gifts and buying stuff. 45 with a B. In 2011, the day after Thanksgiving, we spent $52 billion on preparing for festivities and fun. And there's nothing wrong with festivities and fun unless it comes at the expense of Jesus. And if our festivities and our fun and our spending and our all this stuff comes at the expense of Jesus, then we have to ask ourselves, what has Christmas become? I want to read from you just a little bit of scripture, and this scripture you know very well. I am going to read from the New Living Translation this morning, just a little bit from Luke 2, and in a few minutes, a little bit from Matthew 1. And so if you've got your Bible, I'm going to read a few verses from Luke chapter 2 from the New Living Translation. I want us to bear in mind, if nothing else today, brothers and sisters, the importance of Christmas. Now, if I were to ask you straight out, how many of you actually dread Christmas? I suspect I would see a few hands. And we dread it because of what it has become. And so I'm asking us this morning to consider, what is Christmas and what has it become? Is it a rat race here and a rat race there and go into debt and spend 6 months getting out of that debt? What has it become? Listen to what it was the night it happened in Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse 8. That night there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them, "Don't be afraid." And here's what he said. So there's one, this is in the singular so far. There's one angel there in the dark of night with these shepherds, and they're terrified, knowingly so. I mean, here they are. All of a sudden, everything with the glory of the Lord, it's completely illuminated. There's a single angel there, and he says, "Don't be afraid." Why? Because I bring you good news. That's what we should be thinking about at Christmas. The angels of heaven have declared, and God has sent His Son, and we have seen the good news. And so the angel said, "Don't be afraid, shepherds. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born in Bethlehem, the city of David, and you will recognize Him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger." Suddenly, the Bible says, the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, you suppose the angels were scared with one angel? Or the shepherds, I mean, what do you think now? These shepherds with the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest. In that dark hillside, in the peace of that night, the peace was shattered by this multitude of angels, the armies of heaven, the New Living Translation says, shouting out praises and glorifying God. When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." They hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby lying in the manger. And after seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. And all who heard the shepherd's story were astonished, but Mary kept all these things in her heart and thought about them often. The shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. It was just as the angel had told them. Now listen to me for a second, brothers and sisters. We get excited about a lot of stuff, don't we? We get excited about a lot of stuff. It may be sports, it may be events, it may be weddings, it may be Christmas. We get excited about a lot of stuff. But I want us to envision just for a moment how excited heaven was for this baby. How excited all of heaven was for God to become flesh and dwell among us. The angels of heaven were excited. Heaven was excited to announce that birth that night. The angels were beaming brightly with excited anticipation to tell the world, the Messiah is here. They were excited about that. The shepherds, the Bible says, went back glorifying and praising God. The shepherds were excited. And I just ask us, and I want us to consider and ponder today and this Christmas season, can we too get that excited about Jesus? Because after all, friends, we tried to help the little ones understand this a little bit on Awana night. If it wasn't for Jesus, there's no Christmas. If it wasn't for Jesus, there's no holiday. And so I just want to encourage us and ask you, in our excitement and in our festivities and in our fun, can we get that excited about Jesus? Like the angels that night did and the shepherds that night did. Let me tell you another little story. Maybe you've heard this story. I think it's a common story, but I just come across it again this week. This story happened on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day during World War I, as told to Pastor Stuart Briscoe. The story goes like this. This old German gentleman who encountered Pastor Briscoe one time told him this story. He said, I fought in the forces of Germany in the First World War. And I think you all are very, very aware that in World War I, they weren't using drones and such. It was hand-to-hand combat in the trenches. And so soldiers, this old man told Pastor Briscoe, soldiers lived, fought, and died in the trenches full of mud and blood and vermin. In those trenches dug in the fields of France, enemies could actually hear each other talking. They didn't need satellites to locate the enemy. The enemy was in the next hole over. This old gentleman told me how one cold, moonlit Christmas Eve night, he huddled in the bottom of the trench because of, and this is something that I think I knew about, and perhaps some of you realize this, but I'd forgotten. But during World War I, when Christmas arrived, it was an automatic truce. Did you know that? Some of you knew that. I'd forgotten that. But here's what this old German man told Pastor Briscoe. Because of the annual Christmas truce, the fighting stopped. Suddenly, from the British trenches, a loud, sweet tenor voice began to sing from the trenches that night, "The Lord is my shepherd." And this sound floated up into the clear, moonlit night. And then he said something very surprising happened. From the German trenches, a rich baritone voice tuned in, singing in German, "The Lord is my shepherd." For a few moments, everybody in both trenches concentrated on the sound of these two invisible singers and the beautiful music and the harmony. The British soldier and the German soldier sang praise and glory to the Lord, who was their shepherd. The singing stopped and the sound slowly died away. We huddled there in the bottom of our trenches and tried to keep warm all night until Christmas Day dawned. And the old man told me early on Christmas morning, some of the British soldiers climbed out of their trenches onto the no man's land. Those of you that know about this trench warfare know that there was a trench here and a trench here, and in between was no man's land where everybody died. But in that morning, on Christmas morning, British soldiers climbed out of their trenches into the no man's land carrying a football, better known to us as a soccer ball. One soldier carried that round football. These English soldiers started kicking around the football in a pickup game in no man's land between the trenches. Then the old German man said some of the German soldiers climbed out, and England played Germany at football in no man's land on Christmas Day in the middle of World War I, in the middle of the battlefield. Then he said, the very next day, the very next morning, the carnage once again broke out. The machine guns went off. The bayonet fighting started again. Everything was back to normal in war. I read this story and I got to thinking, even in the midst and the violence of this world war, this was World War I. That's coming up on 100 years ago already. Did you know that? That's coming up on 100 years ago already. But in the violence of this world war, people on both sides took time to do what? To call a truce and celebrate Jesus. Singing from both trenches, both sides of the no man's land began to sing, "The Lord is my shepherd." And I read this story and I wanted to share it because there's something that's supernatural about Christmas. There was something supernatural that night in World War I, but there was something very, very supernatural amongst the shepherds and in Bethlehem that night. There was something supernatural about God wanting to become humanity, to save humanity for their sin. There's something supernatural about that. And so I just been reminded this week, brothers and sisters, that Christmas is a time for presents and food and fun and entertainment, all that stuff. But it's more importantly a time about God coming to earth. This is actually, after all, a God story. Is it not? Christmas is a God story. And I just want us to remember, this is a God holiday. And these miraculous events of angels talking about, we could talk about a lot of things, about John the Baptist. We don't have time for all these things, but you know the stories. The angels come and speaking to Zechariah and telling him about John the Baptist. And the angels come and speaking to Mary. This young woman who was a virgin said, "You're going to have a baby." These are supernatural miracles of God. Or we could talk further about the angels visiting the shepherd and all these things. But as I think about the war torn, the ravages of war in World War One, and the supernatural thing that happened on Christmas Day, and the very next day they went back to killing each other, I think about the supernatural thing of God loving humanity so much that He would give to us Jesus, the greatest gift. He would give to us Jesus, the most supernatural, amazing thing about this event. God wants to take up residence in our hearts. You see, God left the splendor of heaven in the form of the Son to not stay a baby, but to live and to teach and to go to that cross at Calvary so that God Himself, His Spirit, might take up residence in our hearts. And I can't think of anything more supernatural than that. The God of the universe, who created the universe in the spoken word, wants to live in humanity's hearts. He sent Jesus as this baby. We don't have time. I was going to read more from Matthew 1. We don't really have time for that. But He sent Jesus this baby. But He didn't stay a baby. He wanted to take up residence in your heart. He wants to take up residence in our heart. And we can look at all the miracles about virgin births, and quite frankly, people don't even buy into that anymore. We can look at all the miracles that happened about the angels appearing to these people. Even Joseph had an angel visit. When Joseph wanted to put Mary away, and the angel said, "Don't be afraid, she's expecting by the Holy Spirit of God." Talk about blow your mind, Joseph. How do you think he comprehended that? But there was visit after visit after visit from angels, and there was miracles after miracles after miracles. And what I want us to just to get a grasp of this morning as we close, there's a lot of mysterious and a lot of supernatural about Christmas and about God wanting to come to earth. But I think the greatest one is He come to take up residence in our lives. That's a supernatural thing that God wants to do in all of our lives. He wants us to recognize Jesus, yes, as a baby, yes, as God, as the angels proclaimed, as Messiah, as Lord, as Savior of humanity, that wants to take up residence in your life. You see, this is the greatest gift God could give us. We talk about presents, we talk about gifts, we talk about giving, we talk about helping others. God has given us the greatest gift that He could give. He gave us His Son. And He wants to take up residence in your lives, brothers and sisters. And so it's just a very simple matter of, have we received this gift of God? Have we received Jesus Christ as Lord? Have we been born again? And so I just want to close with this. Jesus is the only reason for this season. It's become a lot of things. It's become a lot of things to a lot of people in a lot of places. But Jesus is the only reason that we really have this holiday in the first place. And so I just want to encourage you, please, let's do our part not to water this down any further. Let's do our part to be deliberate in celebrating Jesus. Let's sing, "What Child Is This?" to close. And I just pray that you have a wonderful Christmas season. I pray that if you have a chance, come back and sing with us and fellowship and worship with us tomorrow night as we sing all kinds of Christmas songs for our Christmas Eve service. But I pray and hope that you really do have a very blessed Christmas season. But I pray that more importantly than anything else, that we remember that no Jesus, there is no Christmas. He's the reason for this season, and I pray that our celebration is all about Him. Amen.